And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, A sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And then Jesus continued, and the disciples came and spake unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that he hath. Yes. And so then he explained this parable, and I'm going to skip down here to verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. Verse 20, But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that receiveth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Verse 22, He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Verse 23, But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. And so, this is a very fundamental parable, and it's also repeated in several of the other Gospels. And there are four things that can happen to the seed that the sower sows. I actually, in my yard, I have 1 acre, and so I noticed that there were some brown spots. And so I was doing a little research, so I heard almost like conflicting views on what to do. Because one view was rake up all the dead grass first and then plant new grass. And then I was talking to someone else and they said it was the freeze that killed some of this grass. And then they said just leave it alone and let it grow and let it recover by itself. So I actually went and bought some bag of seed and fertilizer and I spread the seed. So I'm actually doing, I didn't see any birds trying to take my seed. But it's an interesting thing that this parable applies to not only people getting saved and what happens to them after they get saved or hear the gospel and receive Jesus Christ, but I feel it also applies to any spiritual truth that God has available for us. And, you know, we sing some wonderful hymns, and we have the one hymn, Standing on the Promises. And we can always stand on His promises. And I like to tell people, God in His sovereignty stands behind every one of His promises. And still, we have to sometimes press in and receive the promise. And I like to make the comparison or the analogy about how a person gets saved. And Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And the wonderful thing about that promise is it's wonderful if someone becomes a Christian and they have great peace, they have great joy, they feel a lifting of burden and a lifting of guilt. But the main thing is that we have the promise of God that if a person has the best way they knew how, confess Jesus as Lord, and believe the best way they know how that God raised them from the dead. And I should preface, ask God to forgive them of their sins. And if they've done that the best way they know how, then God has promised to save them. Yeah. We don't have to wonder whether he's going to save them. If they've done it the best way they know how, then God has promised to save them. Now, there are some interesting promises. I got to use that word carefully. I want to say it in a humble and a holy way. Promises that we, as we share the gospel, we can have an impact on how it's received. And there is a verse, I think it's Isaiah, when Zion travailed, she brought forth. And there's a time to pray and intercede for lost people. And the wonderful thing is we can pray at least two things for lost people. One is that their eyes would be open to the light of the gospel, right, that they may have heard or that they're going to hear. And two, that laborers would be sent to them to share the gospel. And we see the story there in the book of Acts with Cornelius. He was told to go get someone to share the gospel to him. So the angel didn't share the gospel in that instance. And it's possible they could proclaim the word of God. But in that instance, they given instructions, go get Peter. And Peter preached to them the gospel. And as he preached, the Holy Spirit fell on them. And so we need laborers, and that's where it says, how shall they hear unless someone goes and shares the gospel? And so all of us have the great commission as believers to go into all the world and preach the gospel, whether it's here in locally Jerusalem, for us here right here, Greenville area, or further in Texas, or all over the country, across the world. We have the great commission, and by the grace of God, we want to do that. And so now, these four things that happen to the seed, we have to be alert for. We want, of course, the best kind. We want to see fruit, 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. I'll tell a quick little story. I still remember my son, who's now in his 30s, when he was 3 years old, we went to a revival service, and this preacher made a pretty amazing promise. He said, okay, we're taking the offering, and he said, if you'll put $100 in, God will give you 100-fold. If you put 60 in, he'll give you 60-fold. Yeah. And if you put 30 in, he'll give you 30-fold. And my little 3-year-old son, they were passing out envelopes, so he raised his hand for an envelope. And so he got the envelope, I took the envelope, and I put in $30. And would you believe the next day something happened that I felt I got the $900. The 30 times 30 is 900. And so that's the way with these promises of God. We can apply them into our life. We can believe them. And God stands behind every one of his promises. And so I like to say that the same way a person becomes a Christian by confessing, actually repenting of all known sin and confessing Jesus as Lord and believing, is the same way that we can receive many other promises of God, is by, of course, making sure we don't have any known sin in our life, and then confessing the promise, and then believing the promise. And, you know, sometimes when I'm talking to people, they're dealing with situations, it's not like I'm trying to check them out, but you can almost tell what comes out of a person's mouth is what's in their heart. And, you know, sure, there may be a problem, but it's almost rare to find people who are saying, this is the promise I'm claiming, and I'm speaking the promise. And so we should be speaking God's promises. And as I've had opportunity to say, I like the 23rd Psalm. In the last verse, I say that's always a promise you can say, that surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days, follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So we want to speak and claim God's promises, and God stands behind his promises. And there's actually a verse in Psalm 103 that comes to mind about the angels are hearkening unto the voice of his word. And so as we speak his word, the angels are listening to us speak his word. Okay, Psalm 103, verse 20. Bless the Lord, you his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Yes, God can give them commands, but as we speak God's promises, then the angels are listening. And I know I've told this story before, but it's real quick. I heard that John Hagee used this story about when the Titanic was sinking. This ship officer was there in the water, and he was about to get sucked into one of the smokestacks as the water was rushing into the smokestack. And he yelled out that Bible verse from Psalm 91, that phrase. He yelled out, "He shall give his angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways." And just then, there was an explosion inside of the ship. Instead of being sucked back into the smokestack, he got blown over next to a lifeboat, and he got to live and to tell that story.
Yeah.
And so it's amazing. I was reading the book by Billy Graham on angels, and he has some amazing testimonies of one lady who just barely heard something about Jesus, and she was out there someplace, and a wild animal was going to try to attack her and her baby. And she called on the name of Jesus, and the animal just left. And so the angels are hearkening unto the voice of his word. And so getting back to this parable, the four things. First is that the sun comes up and nothing happens. And it's talking about the wicked one catching and taking it away. And we have to make sure that when we hear a word of God, we believe it. I was recently in a class, and somebody was teaching about that promise, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And at the end of the class, someone was almost like raising objection, you know, that almost tried to undo everything that was taught. And you have to choose to go with God's word and believe his word and not an objection. I don't often say this, but I have said it. You know, I'm not crossing out, I'm not any Bible promises because it didn't seem to work for someone. Yeah. We are going to keep on looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We're keeping our eyes on the Word of God. And so so they had the birds took away the seed. And then the second one was the one, he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. And then because it has no root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation and persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. And it's always sad to meet people who are offended. People who say, I used to go to church, and they're not in church. They're not living as close to God as they were before. And the thing is, so it's on us as believers. Of course, we can pray for people who got saved. And actually, I was going to mention the other promise, the Apostle Paul, who said, I travail in birth until Christ be formed in you. And so we can pray for new believers. And so this, starting tomorrow, we'll be at the Hunt County Fair, and we want to pray for new believers as they pray to become Christians. But we have to, every one of us as believers, have to have good roots and be planted in the house of God and planted in his word. And I think about that wonderful promise from Psalm 1, where it says, talking about the godly man, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. And then it says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also will not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. And so we want to be delighting and meditating in God's word. We want to be fellowshipping with other believers. And so we can have deep roots, and if there is some opposition, we don't have to give up. And I sometimes quote, I used to answer the prayer line for a Christian TV station, Daystar. But there's John chapter 16 starts out with, these things I have spoken that you should not be offended. And so that's the thing, that we want to overcome offenses. We have to decide, no matter what, I'm going to keep on living for God. And no matter what happens, we may not understand something, but God always stands behind His promises, and God is faithful. God is a loving God. We never should blame God for anything. The Bible says the thief, talking about the enemy, the devil, only comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so we, I'll try to move on, though. We have the first kind that just fell on the ground and the birds took it away. And that was the enemy. And so we need to grab a hold of the word of God that we hear. And if we do grab a hold of these promises, they can bring forth much fruit. And then we don't want to give up easily. So there's a time, there's a phrase in the Bible that says, through faith and patience inherit the promises. And so then the third kind, it says, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. And so the cares of this world, there's at least two great promises about dealing with cares of this world. It says in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares on him, for he cares for you. And then in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so we can cast our cares. As soon as we identify a care, you know, people, they have smartphones and they have Googles and this computers. So now, you, as soon as you can think of how to phrase a problem, you can look it up. What do I do about something? But really, spiritually, as soon as we realize we got a care, we can say, God, I'm giving that care to you. I don't know how it's going to work, but you're doing it. I have a favorite promise in Psalm 37. I want to see, turn to it super quick here. Psalm 37, and these are wonderful verses that go along. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And then verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. There's some things I'm still believing for. I don't know how all the details, but it says here, commit your way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So we can give cares to him about how things are going to work out. And so we don't need to become unfruitful by the cares of this world. We don't need to worry. And then the deceitfulness of riches. So the money is something to be used, and God can bless us. And it says, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And so, and then it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So, but we don't need to have the wrong kind of perspective on money. And that's the wonderful thing, that God has almost made a way that if we will believe his word, if we and even start giving offerings and tithes, God says he'll rebuke the devourer for our sakes, and he'll open up the windows of heaven to pour out a blessing that there's not room enough to receive. So we want to be in God's economy, which is to give tithes and offerings. We want to take a day of rest, and we want to believe that God, in the remaining 6 days and the remaining finances, will bless us and prosper us. Not the wrong way, but he will bless us that it's going to be worth taking that time to worship God and take that giving offering. We're not trying to buy God off, but he stands behind his promises. He will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. There's not room enough to receive. And so we don't have to have the wrong perspective that we got to run around day and night trying to get rich. We need to say, I'm taking time for God, and I'm giving to God's work, and I'm trusting God to bless what's left. And so here, the last one, but he that receives seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, and also bringeth forth fruit, beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. So just one last little anecdote about my living over there on, not too far from here, but on the land. So I have trees, and I started noticing I got all these dead branches. So I started with different poles, and I actually have a pipe that I put two 10-foot pieces of pipe together, glued them together. So I can take this 20-foot piece of pipe and push it up against a branch and snap it off. But all that to say, I was thinking about that passage, John 15. Jesus is saying, and it's worth reading here. Let me see here. John 15. I am the vine, and my Father is the. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And so we want, as believers, we want more fruit. And so we just thank God for purging us and pruning us. So I can prune a tree in the natural a little bit, get rid of a few dead branches, and God is working on us. And there's that great verse in Psalms, search me, O God, and try me, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We don't want to be doing dead things. We want to be fruitful as much as possible in the kingdom of God. So let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this peaceful time together to share your word and to lift up the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just thank you that you stand behind your word. You said your word will not return void. It'll accomplish that which you please. And Lord, we do intercede for people in this coming evangelism outreach at the Hunt County Fair, that people will be come into the kingdom of God, they would be rooted and grounded in you, and they would grow up into being strong Christians and live for you all the days of their life. And they would not be offended, they would not deceived by the enemy, that the enemy would not take any word of God out of their life. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for our own life, that you help us to understand your word in a greater way, and that we can apply it, and Lord, for your glory, see it bring forth fruit. We thank you for this, and Lord, we just pray for Pastor Leon that you just help him and bless him in every area of his life, and that you just help our health to spring forth speedily. And if there's something that we can do better for eating and exercise or casting our cares on you, we do that. In Jesus' name, amen.